man. See, that was awesome. All right, so actually nobody is here from last week. Oh, okay. No, that doesn't mean you were sick. No, that's fine. That's great. But last week I went over the first five verses in Romans 5, and that's where our lesson will be in Romans 5. But the first five verses, we see how great faith is. How faith can bring many things to us. How faith can bring us hope. I know I told you Romans 5, but we're going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Stephen, can you read that? Right. I wonder why that doesn't show that. The greatest gift is love. Yeah, it is a different version, but I thought it still would have it. I usually like to read out New King James. That's, standard. So faith enables us to come to God. It allows us to believe in God so that we can come to Him. But love enables us to imitate God. Because God is love. In Romans 5, verse 6, we're going to read, Hannah, can you read that? So God's nature is love. He loved us before He even knew you guys. He loved you guys. He loved us when we were weak and ungodly. God loved us so very much that He sent His Son to die for us. You know, God loves us just the way we are. Just the way we are. But He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to stay in sin. You know, He wants to protect us, and He wants the very best for us. Now, I know there's people who have been here before and the new visitors. You see that? I have the students read the verses. Right? Anybody can guess why I do that? That's one reason. And maybe to save me from reading them. Keep you involved. That's another reason I have it written down. Keep you engaged. Right? And then actually saying the words, you know, when you actually read or when you say the words, it actually typically helps the person remember those words. And then plus it's also to make sure you know that I'm not changing God's word so you guys can keep me accountable. One more reason is that in my school days, long in a galaxy far away, I would sit at my little tiny desk and I would be petrified that the teacher would call on me to read out loud. So why do I torment others of my fear? Because I do not want that same fear to control you like it controlled me. I don't want you guys to make the same mistakes that I've made. You know, the way to get better at something, get better at anything, is to practice, is to keep doing it. If it's a struggle, just keep doing it. You know, and reading is a good thing. And reading God's word is a really, really good thing. But what if you mispronounce a word? You cry and the world's going to end. Well, if that was true, the world would end just about every day with me, because I do that all the time. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, and I know teasing, there's a fear of teasing, and teasing can hurt. Even teasing that is said in fun. Because teasing can and often goes too far. You know, we really need to think twice about when we comment on something. It's just something to think about. Because, you know, is teasing in love? Now, some people, depends who you are and depends on your relationship, but teasing often goes too far. Now, also in verse 6, it says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time. It doesn't mean eventually, or he finally did it. Oh, he finally did that. No, it's the appointed time or the perfect timing. That's when God died for our sins. In Australia, there's this gentleman named James Harrison. Turns out that his blood has a high number of antibodies, what fights off the rhesus disease. Now, the rhesus disease, it attacks unborn babies. So babies still in the womb. And the same time they found out that his blood contained these antibodies, there was a high number of pregnant women what had this disease. So James donated his blood for over 60 years. He's donated over 1,000 times, and he is credited with saving 2.4 million babies. He is called the man with the golden arm. His donations were at appropriate time, in due time. Unfortunately, he's past the age where he can't donate anymore, but he's hoping that that record will not stand, that somebody will break that record someday. In Romans 5, 7, Cassia?
For rarely will someone die for just a person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die.
All right, in the New King James, it says, rarely would somebody die for a righteous person, though for a good person, somebody might die. So Paul here, Paul's writing the letter to Rome, Paul compares how humans view love to God's love. Rarely for a righteous person, but maybe, just maybe, for a good person, somebody would die. It brings up a question as far as who would we die for? Who would you guys die for? You know, and that could be a little clue in, you know, the differences between what they call, or what Paul is calling, a righteous person and a good person. So anybody want to guess on what that would be? The differences between? I mean, it says rarely for a righteous person, but maybe for a good person. What is the differences between the righteous person and a good person? They're all good in your eyes?
No, there's obviously a difference, I guess.
There's always a difference because more people would die for a good person than a righteous person.
Yeah.
So who would you die for? Do you have anybody you'd die for? For your dog. So a righteous person is somebody we see that's following God's law, right? That makes sense. That's what righteous would be, right? That he seems like he has everything together. That he seems like he's following the rules to the letter. You know, we respect that person. However, we don't really know him that well because we don't have a close relationship to that person. Now, a good person would be somebody that you know, somebody who's shown you love and you return that with kindness. You know, it's somebody that we know and we view as morally good, a person worth their weight in gold. It's an old saying. But worth saving. You know, that person, what you go, no, that's a good guy. That's a good cursed person. That's a good girl. You know, so it's somebody you actually have that relationship with. In Romans 5:8, Jacob, right? Joshua. Joshua. Can you read that?
But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay, God's love is amazing. Sinners and ungodly people, what type of people is that describing? What type of people are we describing when we say sinners and ungodly?
Humans?
Humans? Good. Yeah, basically. Sometimes, you know, we try to be good, right? But, so, the unrighteous people, we're basically enemies of God, right? We're doing things against God. So, God's love is so amazing that he sees us. He doesn't see the righteous, right? Yet he sees an enemy, yet he gave his son so that we may be saved. And then undoubtedly the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Dan? I'm so sorry. This is the second time. I do this and do not feel bad because I'm horrible. Daint.
For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
And then 17. Oh, sorry. It was supposed to be together. Daint, yeah. So love is said to be a verb because it's an action. We should give of itself. Jesus gave his life for us. He wants a close relationship with us. However, he sacrificed before having that close relationship with us. He sacrificed for the chance that he may never have that close relationship. He sacrificed for them also. In The Lion King, we've all seen Lion King, right? Mufasa takes up his son, Simba, and he's instructing Simba, and he gives him wise words. He says, while others look, I can't do Earl J, you know, the deep voice, but while others look, that's way off. While others look for what they can take, a true king live action movie he did. Oh my gosh. That doesn't count?
No.
Oh. In the live action movie he does. God is a true king. He is the true king. And he gave the very best. He gave his son Jesus. God did not send his son so he could say, hey, look, my son could live a sinless and perfect life. Why can't you? He didn't do that to throw him in their face. No, Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world, but to save it. Because his perfect and innocent life made him the Lamb of the world, the only sacrifice that could cover everyone's sin. In Romans 5, verse 9, Sammy, right? Sammy, I should remember that. Yeah, Sammy. Verse 9 and 10, actually.
Much more than since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we have been saved by his life?
Justified and reconciled to God. One definition of reconciled is to make somebody accept a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. Ouch. Paul. You know, it's kind of like if you were in a courtroom and you're standing before this judge, right? You're standing before this very fair, always fair, and honest judge. And he looks over our past records, which there's something we've all done, right? Looks over this past record, he's about to throw the book at us, and then his son stops him. Wait, Dad, I know them. I'll vouch for them. They are good. I will pay that punishment for them. I will pay that ransom for their life. Romans 5:11. Luke. So we're thankful, right? Shouldn't we be thankful? We're very thankful for God's grace. We're being happy because God loves us. You know, appreciating, full-heartedly appreciating the sacrifice that he gave us, that he did for us, that he gave his life to save us. In Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Stephen?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
So God chose to love us first. Before the world was even made, he chose to love us and gave us a way to be saved. I could just picture it, right? God and Lucifer talking. You know, they're probably just talking right before the world was made and saying, God, I can't believe you're going to make these things. I can't believe you're going to make humans. Do you know what that Gary is going to do? Ew. And then God just looks at him and says, slow your roll, Lou. Slow your roll. He might not have said it just like that. Maybe. Don't talk about that guy. I love that guy. You know, God's amazing love covers each and every one of us. Hannah, can you close us in prayer and then we'll have communion? Amen.